I'm Catherine Olimar. I'm from Michigan State, and I want to thank my colleagues. Our core team are listed on this slide. Risa Wilkerson, Jennifer Mozak, actually, who's here in the audience. Jennifer, do you want to raise your hand? Ellen Bassett, Karen Peters-Mark, Lisa Gross, David Mendez, and Sarah Pankin. This has been a collaborative participatory project funded by CDC and the Associations of Schools of Public Health, and it's a partnership between the Michigan Department of Community Health, the Governor's Council on Physical Fitness, Sports, and Health, and then the two universities in Michigan, Michigan State, which is where I am, and also the Prevention Research Center of Michigan, which is at the University of Michigan School of Public Health. I'm going to be talking about our project, which was a four-year project. It's just finishing up to improve and evaluate Michigan's Promoting Active Communities program. So what is the Promoting Active Communities program? It was started around 2000 by the Michigan Department of Community Health and the Governor's Council. It's an online assessment of a community's environments, policies, and programs as they are related to promoting and supporting physical activity. It's an awards program, so communities go online and fill out a checklist, and they get points for various questions that they answer, and they the points add up to a score. And based on those scores, there is an award that is awarded to them from the Governor of Michigan, and it recognizes communities that promote active living. And if you've come to this session, you probably know what that is, which is basically making it easier for residents to be physically active in terms of the built environment. Every Michigan community is eligible to complete the PAC assessment and compete for the award. There's five award levels, and we have a conference every year, and the award winners are recognized in an annual award ceremony. I don't know what the final total is, but I think it's over 80 communities have now participated in this awards program. So in 2003, we got funding from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention to, as I said, improve and evaluate this website. It was put together earlier in the evolution of active living research, and so what we were interested in doing was making it evidence-based so that the questions that were part of the checklist actually, you know, as much as we could, were associated with residents being physically active in that community, and then also evaluate it to see if our improvements were successful. And this four-year project was a partnership among these various organizations in Michigan. We had a state steering committee who guided the process of improvements and evaluation. The improvements were based on several things. The first was a literature review that we did. It was somewhat exhaustive, and we tried to scour the literature for research that was looking at associations between policies, programs, and the built environment, and all the aspects of that, and we had different categories, and various aspects of physical activity. So it was divided into things like walking for recreation, walking for transportation, biking for recreation, biking for transportation, and then general physical activity. For those of you who know the literature out there, there was very little on policies. There was more on the built environment. So, you know, we did the best that we could. We also reviewed audit tools that other universities and organizations have put together to audit the built environment in terms of physical activity, and incorporated some in the assessment tool. For example, Jim Salas's neighborhood assessment is just basically verbatim, but we put that into the assessment for the neighborhood section. We also did focus groups with communities who had previously used the tool, and it didn't have a neighborhood section in the first iteration of it, so we also did focus groups with neighborhood leaders to see, you know, how this would be helpful to them and what kinds of things would be helpful to put into the assessment. We One of the feedback that we got from the previous users was that there wasn't enough education on the website, and so we actually put together a book called Design Guidelines for Active Michigan Communities. This is available on the website now. It's actually, it's also hot linked to the questions that are relevant, so if there's something, a question about mixed use, for example, then it's hot linked to the section in the Design Guidelines that's about mixed use and why that's important for physical activity. I have three copies available. People are welcome to take them home with them if they want to come see me after the presentation. But again, it's also available free to just download off of the website. And then the last thing that we did is once we had the assessment written and the design guidelines written, we sent it out for review from 30 local and national experts. So we did an expert review, and there was checklists for them to evaluate. And then we made improvements based on that evaluation. So that was the process that we went through to create the assessment tool that's there now. There are 14 sections. I'm not going to read them, but you can see that it scans a wide range of the literature, actually, that, you know, is showing associations with physical activity. And the website is available at mihealthtools.org/communities. So if you're interested in checking it out, there's also a flyer in the back of the room. I have about 30 copies if people want to take that flyer as well to get onto the website. For the evaluation, we launched the new pack in 2006, and we wanted to see how well it worked, so it was kind of our pilot year. And we wanted to do an evaluation, quantitative and qualitative. For our quantitative evaluation, our main priority was to make sure that the PAC assessment and award levels functions well for communities of all income sizes, all incomes and sizes of the community. So we didn't want it biased one way or the other for those different kinds of communities in Michigan. And for the basically, we want to make sure that the scores were based on the responses to the questions, not the characteristics of the community, if that makes sense. And for the qualitative, our main priority was working with the communities to see if it was easy to use, and then does it lead to community education, and then what we were hoping to see, you know, does it facilitate change? I mean, the whole purpose of this is to facilitate change at the community level. Communities, I should have mentioned this before, many communities have filled it out multiple times to watch their award level increase. So they, you know, go from silver to gold or something like that, and that's kind of like an incentive for them to make improvements, and they see that their scores go up. We also did case studies and in-depth interviews, but I'm not going to have a chance to talk about those today. And I guess I should explain that we did 5 focus groups in 2006. We had 28 participants. So the 17 communities that completed the PAC in 2006, there was a spread. These are the different award levels. We haven't had a community in Michigan reach platinum yet, which I think is a good thing. If you've been to Michigan, you and we're kind of like a car culture in Michigan, kind of the antithesis of active living, although there's been a lot of new developments and a lot of excitement in the state recently. In 2006, there was one gold community. Those people who are familiar with Michigan might guess that that was Ann Arbor, Michigan, that got a gold. There was a range of population sizes and incomes, so I just wanted to show you that we did kind of have a spread among those 17 communities. And then what we were interested in looking at was the scores and then the award levels based on population and income. But first, I'll show you that we also were interested in the spread of the percent of total possible points in each category. So even though there are 14 sections, we divided the sections and the questions into 3 categories. We think of them as like the 3 legs of a stool that are all important for active living. One is current environments. So like, what do you see when you look out your window in the community? The second is policies, which is what we think of as like building for the future. So making sure that your site plan reviews or your zoning and ordinances are in line with active living. And then programming. So we know that just because you build it, if you don't have programming, then people might not use the facilities that you've built in terms of marketing and making, you know, possibilities for them. And we showed a larger spread in the policies and programming, if you can see the minimum to the maximum, than in the current environment. And I thought that the tool, you know, it looks like the tool is doing a good job in really showing that spread, because some communities have, you know, policies that are not in line with active living, and versus some do. So, you know, we showed that spread even with those just 17 communities. So then we looked at associations between the overall score and the award level, and the strongest associations were with current environments and planning, not programming. And because this was in 2006 and we had funding to keep making improvements, we actually made quite a few changes after 2006, and now there's a more balance, so that it's current environments, planning, and programming that are associated with the overall scores. These were the sections that played into people's scores and awards the most, and again, we took a look at that and wanted to create some more balance, so we made some changes in terms of points, you know, assigning points and things like that. But we didn't find any associations between population size or medium income, which was a surprise, or would be a surprise to some of the communities, because they felt like some of the questions were biased in terms of that, and so we still worked with it a little bit because they were telling us that, to, you know, make sure that it was not biased by population size and medium income as much as we possibly could. So, but since we didn't show any associations, it looks like it's working well for various types of communities. So we also conducted focus groups with the community groups that had, or the communities that had completed the assessment in 2006, and these were the main some of the main outcomes of the PAC that the communities told us. So one was general networking. So smaller towns told us that they were so small they already knew everybody, so there wasn't any new networking going on, but they did have a chance to strengthen existing connections. This really comes about because in order to complete the assessment tool, it's usually like a planner or a city manager, but you can't do it on your own. You have to go talk to a school. You have to go talk to a neighborhood. You have to talk to a work site. So you really have to get to know different sectors of your community, or at least have those different sectors complete the checklist. So that collaboration has to happen even to apply for the award. And so we learned that, you know, the new connections were made in the larger communities. For example, they talked mostly about, like, school or working with the police on the safety issues. And then also we heard from, this was just an example, that a planner was new to the community and they thought, oh, well, this is a great introduction to my community because I had to go and talk to all these different people in the community. Another benefit that they found from the PAC was that was visioning and community visioning. They said, you know, if several communities were saying that we're going to be updating our master plan in the next few years or updating our ordinances, and this is going to help us with that because now we have like a vision. It's helping us vision for, you know, what, where we want to go as a community. Same thing with the planning process. It's too soon for us to know if that's really what they did. They use the PAC to, you know, to work on updating their plans and their vision, but you know, that they said that they were going to be doing that. And then another benefit we found is that it definitely increased knowledge and awareness of active living principles, and a few people talked about how that became internalized in them. And I know that for me, I'm a nutritionist. This is brand new to me when we got this project, and I can't look at a street now without thinking about a road diet or, you know, where are the bike lanes? And they said, you know, after going through all of these questions and us asking them about, you know, which parts of their city have sidewalks, they started looking out the window in a different, like looking at their community in a different way and thinking like, oh, you know, these are the kinds of things that we need for health in our community. There was strong support for the PAC in the focus groups. Jennifer, who I introduced earlier, conducted those focus groups along with a member of the Governor's Council. So, you know, of course, we were conducting our own focus groups, so they probably were more positive because of that. But, I think, you know, it was generally like very supportive of the whole process. They talked about how it brought diverse people together, again, that they can use it as a planning, visioning tool. One thing that they really like is that recognition, so getting that award from the governor, and also using it as a tool to get support of elected leaders. Oh, I'm going backwards. There we go. Yeah. A couple of things that they, suggestions that they had for us was that there needs to be more support at the state level. They were talking about mixed support from the Michigan Department of Transportation when they want to do a road diet. You know, the Department of Transportation might not be there with them to help them with that, although we did hear a few instances, and we could not have done this project without the Michigan Department of Transportation. The partners that were on our steering committee, you know, reviewed everything, and were very progressive planners, and so, you know, they weren't happy to hear that. I just think it needs, it's a large department, and so it's kind of that, those active living principles are spreading throughout the department but are not everywhere right now. They also wanted to see best practices from us in terms of policies, ordinances, or programming and things like that. And then they thought it would be really great if there was funding attached to the award, which there isn't right now. They had some ideas of examples, like, you know, when you apply for your state transportation funding, if, you know, you could get bonus points for having completed the PAC and, like, gone up an award level or something like that. Right now, we're only getting communities to fill to complete the assessment that are really kind of thinking about this. And so one thing that we're going to be doing in the future is more marketing to we had 25 communities completed in 2007, so more marketing to communities who aren't thinking about this right now, and we want to be thinking about this. They thought that a few of the questions were subjective, and so we actually tightened those up with some of the responses for 2007. And you can only assess one neighborhood, one shopping area, one downtown, and they thought that they had a hard time picking. One thing that we'd like to do if we get some more funding is to be able for this community to be able to assess multiple ones of those. That would help. So our future goals are to keep improving the PAC based on the evaluation, so we're still analyzing the results of this evaluation. We'd like to expand it statewide, and then, you know, if other states are interested in this, we've talked to our web designer. It's not that expensive to duplicate the website for other states, so if people want to talk to me about that. And then one thing that we hope to do eventually is to be able to use it for surveillance, so getting a random sample of communities to complete the PAC and then seeing if we're making changes over time. Thank you.
I'd like to open the floor for a question or two or three for Catherine, or any comments. And it would help if you do, if you stand and talk loud since we're in a large room. And or you can go to the microphone. Question?
I got one.
We would love to get your assistance on that, Jim. So, we did apply for more CDC funding this past summer, and we did not get that grant, but we got really great comments on it, so we're definitely planning on continuing that. What we had hoped to do was take it to 10 different states, and we have been working with other state health departments. So if people are interested in bringing the PAC program to their state, then, you know, we'd be happy to talk about that resubmission of that proposal.
Anyone else? Okay, again,
thank you
very
much.
Thanks
a lot. Oh, there was one. Was there? Sure, that's a great question. The Governor's Council on Physical Fitness, Sports, and Health and has a section in their organization that's just on active living, and the Michigan Department of Community Health, their partner, has a staff person who works on active living, and those two partners have done marketing throughout the state. So we go to conferences, we do emails, we do flyering. We're targeting mostly planning, city managers, public health, but we have a marketing plan. So what has happened in both years, 2006 and 2007, is because of the updates, we had a short window window of time for the communities to be able to fill out the application, and it was mostly in the summertime, and that's really challenging for some, like schools, for example. So this time it's going to be launched in January, so they'll have, and the award application is due at the end of August, so they're going to have a much longer time. So we're anticipating to have a lot more communities completed in 2008. But those two organizations are doing a marketing effort, and we're keeping up with that, so and really improving you know, our ideas for marketing and such.
One more.
Right. So they can, we give them a little bit of guidance on that. Like their neighborhood has to be, I think, below the median income. So like we're, you know, they can't pick their like most stellar neighborhood, you know, because we're interested in equity. But they can pick any school they want. Their work site, I think, has to have, I think it's like we ask them to think about their largest work site in their community, so that we give them some guidance, but they can pick which ones that they want in their community. And, you know, so we could only afford, actually, to just have one in the assessment. We'd like to be able to do, you know, that they can do multiple ones. The way that they complete it, there's all different ways that they complete the assessment. So sometimes it's just one person, the city manager, and then they actually print it out and then give it to different people, and then one person types it in. You can have multiple people working on the assessment at the same time. So sometimes they, you know, have a meeting with all the people, and everybody goes off and completes their assessment. What we like the most is to hear that there's been networking going on, you know, that it wasn't just one person, like, farming it out. But even that farming out did create some networking in the community. But one person can't possibly have all of that knowledge of the community to be able to complete the whole thing.
Thank you.